Have you ever wondered why there's such a fuss around the gospel? Why is it called the good news? Why are Christians so hyped about it? And many more questions around the lines of forgiveness of sins and the gospel, then you are totally in the right place. This is the Jesus Tribe podcast, where we present the gospel in its simplicity and beauty to all who would listen. This current series is all about the gospel and answering any questions you might have around it. Best believe it will take you on an exciting journey to truth. Keep listening. Hi guys, welcome back to the Jesus Tribe podcast. It's been so long since I said that. We haven't had an episode in a while. And guys, oh my God, we are so sorry. I won't bore you, you know, too much with the details of what or why we haven't had an episode in a while. If Daniel wants to bore you with such details, you can go ahead, but I don't think I'll do that. But how are you guys doing? I hope you're fine. I hope, you know, life is going well. Nothing major is happening that is shaking your world. I hope things are progressing. You know, how are you guys doing? Let us know in the comments or tweet at us or let us know in our DMs. Anyhow you can reach us, just let us know how you're doing. Hi Daniel, how are you doing?
Hi Faith, I'm doing very well. How are you doing?
All right, I've been.
Hi guys. Yep, it's been a while. I think if we're to summarize all that has happened in the past week, I'll just say summer. Summer happened.
Summer, exactly.
Yeah. So I think we took about 2 weeks. Or we didn't put out anything for about 2 weeks, but we're back now. I mean, it's fall, so we're back. And hopefully we will keep out or keep pushing out awesome content for as long as we can. So welcome back. I guess it's good to be here. Yeah.
So I think this is one of those episodes where we really, really need the recap. All right.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So Daniel, do you want to tell us, you know, what we talked about on our last episode?
Sure. And I think even more than just the last episode. So we all know, or if you've been following us for a while, you know that we're currently on the theme of forgiveness on sale. 100% off. And so it's pretty much a presentation of the gospel. And all we've tried to do in the past couple episodes, in the past several weeks, has simply been step by step to break down and really narrate what the gospel is, to really lay out what the facts of the gospel are. And we haven't actually started to really present the gospel. And that's intentional. Don't worry, guys, we're going to get there. But it's intentional. And that's because before you can even appreciate or understand what the gospel is, you need to understand the problem that the gospel is trying to solve. Right? The reason the gospel is good news is because there was something that might have happened that might not exactly have been good. And so it's like, oh, good news, you don't need to pay for this, your tuition for this semester. So it's good news because you were meant to pay your tuition for the past semester. Oh, good news. This phone is now free. It wasn't free before. And so if the gospel has to do with forgiveness and all of that, I think it's important we understand what was the context or how were things before the gospel came that makes the message of Jesus and forgiveness so amazing. And so we talked about sin, right? How everyone or no one is perfect. And we spent quite some time on that. We also have a few more materials that will be pushed out on that matter as well. We talked a bit about everyone being guilty before God. And the idea there is that if there is an all-powerful being who created the world, who is conscious and who is moral and who is intelligent, and who holds us accountable, then just our mere intuitions and a very simple evaluation of human nature will make it very clear that really no one can stand before a perfectly holy God and claim to be good. And so that whole episode was just about how as human beings we stand guilty before God. And before we then go on to talk about what God then does about it, which sets up the stage very nicely for what makes the gospel good news. But we took a slight detour to talk about the man or the person or the main actor in the gospel, and that's the person of Jesus. And in our last episode, we spent quite some time talking about the fact that, and this talks about our pretty much our most recent episode, is that historically, at least anyone who has done just, you don't have to be due diligence, you've just done the bare minimum of historical studies, you will know that there was a person named Jesus who was an Israelite who lived a few thousand years ago. And everyone, both skeptics and believers alike, agree that this was no mere man. Like, what do I mean? Like, he was not just a regular person. His actions, his teachings, and his life changed the world as we know it today. That is historically clear. What we then moved on to say, or what the Christian moves on to assert, is that Jesus is not just a good teacher. He wasn't just a religious leader of his day. He wasn't just an amazing philosopher of his time. He was much more than that. He was the Son of God. And just to cast our minds back to a C.S. Lewis quote that we talked about last week, and it's the idea that there are two things. Number one, Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic, or he's Lord because of the things he said. And also, we also said that no one who pays careful attention to the words of Jesus can leave that study thinking that Jesus thought of himself as just a normal person. No, there are both theological and historical grounds to assert that Jesus felt he was doing something bigger than what a mere man could do. And so we ended up with the question, which was, for you to go on to receive or understand the gospel, you need to first of all ask yourself, who is Jesus? And I think that sets the stage for what we're about to talk about today. I hope that's a good summary.
Yeah, that's a very nice summary. So jumping just right into what we have to talk about today, one thing is very clear from everything Daniel has said. Jesus clearly wasn't just any regular man that you'd see on the streets. He was a man on a mission, and the mission definitely was to save the world, right? And that's a rather large task, even without regular...
Permit me to interject. Yes, that's absolutely right. I would like to just phrase it as he at least thought of himself as not just a regular man, because if we say he was not a regular man, we're already making a claim that he wasn't, which we've not proven yet. But at least we do know that he thought of himself as more than a mere man. His followers thought of him as more than a mere man. We're going to go on to prove why we, 2,000 years down the line, can also agree with them to say, yes, Jesus was more than a mere man. But I just wanted to point that out. You could go on.
Yeah. So even with our typical regular superhero movies, we don't see one man typically saving the world. It's usually your Avengers, your Justice League that takes on the, you know, forces that attack the entire earth. You know, typically one man will do one city, will do maybe in a country, but you don't really get to see one man do the entire world, right? But then Jesus is here, it's like, oh, I'm going to save the whole world. So how he plans to do that, we would, you know, come to that in a few, right? But then what gave him the audacity? Why was he someone that would come and say, yo, I am going to save the whole world? And so he asked one of his disciples, Peter, one time, like, oh, who do you say that I am? And I think we have touched on this briefly on our last episode. And you know, Jesus says, I mean, Peter goes and says, oh, you are the Son of God, right? And then so Peter says that he's the Son of God, and it's something that we've come to say a lot now, just the Son of God, the Son of God, the Son of God. But really, how do we, like, why do we say that he's Son of God? Why do we think, or what makes us believe that he is the Son of God, right?
Yeah, I think before we even get there, that phrase, the Son of God, alone has caused a lot of problems, and especially if you're familiar with the Islamic tradition. It's not a phrase, well, maybe among Christian circles, it's so used that, in fact, a lot of Christians don't even know what it means when you say he is the Son of God. And because we don't know what it means, or we don't articulate properly what it means, we hear attacks kind of like, how can God have a son? How can, what do you mean by that? Does that mean he's not God? Does that mean he's all of those funny, funny things? It's all tied to that understanding. What does it mean to be the Son of God? And why did Jesus think he was that kind of person? Like you said, clearly he thought of himself as more than a man, that's for sure. So when we talk about the idea of Son of God, it doesn't mean that reproductively God met with someone and then person, like, and they had a son. The same way we think about son. Usually in the Bible, or when theologically or as believers we say Jesus is the Son of God, we are literally pointing primarily to two things, and that is, number one, nature, and number two, origin. Nature and origin. When it comes to origin, the idea is that, of course, he was a man, so his physical existence had a beginning. So the idea of him being the Son of God in terms of origin, first of all, points primarily to the incarnation, that he wasn't born out of the way John talks about it, that it wasn't man and woman, right? He was, at least by virtue of Christian tradition, he was born of a virgin. And so the idea there is that without any natural procedure or natural sexual intercourse between a man and a woman, this man we call Jesus came to be. And so by virtue of origin, he is already different from every normal human being, because I have a father, I have a mother. You have the same father, you have the same mother. But you also listening to this, you have a father, you have a mother. Whether they might be alive or not, whether you know where they are, whether you like them, it's all a different scenario. But every single human being you see on this earth had a father, had a mother, because that's the only way they could have come. But Jesus, being the Son of God, did not have a physical father. That's the idea. The second is nature. And by nature, it's simply the idea that, the same way, it's a very popular quote, at least where we come from, the son of a goat is a goat. The son of a lion is a lion, right? So when Jesus says, I am the
son
of whom you are, right? If you are a human being, your parents were humans. So the title, the Son of God, also points to nature. That by virtue of nature, Jesus was identifying with the divine. And that's why when he said things like, I am the Father, one, the Jews picked up stones to stone him, because they knew exactly what he was saying. He was making a claim to be of the very essence as God. And that's what Philippians would say, that whom, even though he did not think it robbery to be equal with God, he said he laid it all aside and took upon himself the form of a servant. So when we say, when the Christian says Jesus is the Son of God, we're not saying that God had side chick. We're simply saying that, number one, in terms of physical origins, it wasn't the normal man and woman giving birth to a child. Number two, in terms of nature, he had upon himself the very nature of God. So I think it's important we make that. But
that's very profound, Daniel. And then we know that the scripture in Matthew, or description of Jesus in Matthew, puts it very well when he refers to, even prior to Matthew actually, even as far back as Isaiah, when he refers to Jesus as Emmanuel, which literally means God with us, God dwelling, you know, among men. And that's literally, I mean, that's pretty much who Jesus was. He was God dwelling among men for the first three and a half or whatever years that he was, you know, on earth with us. We'll just move on to talking about how, if we fail to see Jesus as who he is, which is God himself, then our understanding would not really be complete. And if it's not complete, then you'd have a hard time grasping the full concept of the gospel, because it wouldn't make sense for, you know, someone who is just a regular person to wake up and say, I'm going to die for the sins of these people. So if you're wondering why we took this detour to talk about and explain properly who Jesus was, this is the reason, because we need to understand fully, you know, who Jesus was and how he has the right to say that, you know, he's God, or how he has the right rather to say that he can save the world from their sins. So let's move on to the second part of the description of Jesus. So we've talked about his nature, then now we need to look at how he's a worthy substitute. Like, how, so fine, it's one thing for you to say that this is what you want to do, and nothing for you to be qualified. So I can wake up and say, oh, I want to be the CEO of Amazon. Am I qualified to do that? Doesn't really make any sense. So what made Jesus, in addition to just wanting to do something, what made him qualified to do that, qualify for the job?
Yeah, I think it's pretty much the same question, actually. They're not two different things when we talk about who he was as the Son of God, because the idea is that he is able to save the world because he is the Son of God. And that's why it's very important, and why Christians would really buttress that point, whether they're speaking with Jehovah's Witnesses, whether they're speaking with Muslims, whether they're speaking with people of other religions, that Jesus is not just like Muhammad, who just came as a prophet to let people know who God was. Jesus is not just an angel. Jesus is not just was not just like Buddha, who was seeking enlightenment and then went out on some spiritual journey. Jesus is much more than that. And for the Christian, or for anyone who comes face to face with the gospel, it's so important that you understand that unless Jesus is by very nature the Son of God, then nothing in the gospel is possible. And let's take a look at it. So first of all, we've gone at length to talk about how, as humans, we all are guilty before God. And what we're presenting in the gospel is a man who pays the price for our sins for the whole world before God. And then you start to ask, what makes, like you asked rightly, what makes one man qualified? There are two sides to that question. Number one, what makes his sacrifice able to be effective for all of us? And number two, how did he even survive it, right? If it's that big, so these are things that, unless Jesus was God himself. So for instance, you can't decide to pay for the sins of people if you have sins to pay for yourself. If the wages of sin is really death, then if you die, at best, you are dying for yourself. You've paid your price. Mm-hmm. You can't. So in atoning for the sins of men, we needed a sinless savior, right? A sinless savior. And if the whole idea of the two episodes ago, the whole point of what we talked about was that all men have sinned, then it means that no one can save another, because everyone is equally drowned. It's like it's the idea of, picture a sea or a swimming pool, and 10 people are drowning. No one there can save another person because they haven't even saved themselves. It has to be a lifeguard who isn't drowning to be able to get into the pool and stretch out his hand and bring people to safety. So the first requirement of a savior was that he had to be, by definition, sinless. But if all men have sinned, so where are we going to find a sinless man? And that is why it's important that you understand that God took on flesh. He was truly sinless. The second thing that is important to note is, how was he able to bear the wrath of God for all mankind? Again, it's because he was God. He was God, and that's why his death and his sacrifice has eternal implications, because by very nature, his life and his worth was eternal. And so you now start to see that an angel couldn't have saved mankind. A good man, in quote, because we've already talked that there's no good person, but at least the nice guy down the road can't save another person. It had to be, it's literally, we've watched this a lot in movies where you see things like, oh, the villain or the superhero is like, oh, do this, he sends all his, all the minions. And then at the point, like, fine, I'll do it myself. it's kind of the same idea. We couldn't save ourselves. In fact, nothing created could save us. So the idea is that God is like, you know what? I love these people too much.
I'll just do this myself.
Them. Yeah. Exactly. Fine, I'll do it myself. And what we see,
because really, even if you didn't agree, like, no one actually could have done it.
Yeah, there was literally no one. There's literally no one. I remember growing up and we picture scenes and you see girls like, is there not anyone?
Who shall I send?
But the idea there is that in the gospel, we see the love of God. That even though he is just, and by justice, we deserve to face the consequences of our actions. Mm-hmm. But he's also merciful and loving. And in a bid not to see anyone perish, he decides to step into the narrative. There's this song I love so much by Hillsong. It's called Arrival. And not so much as the melody, as much as the lyrics. The lyrics are beautiful. It says, who is God that he would take our faith? The architect inside the frame or something, or breathe the very air his breath sustained. The artisan inside the paint, stuff like that. It's amazing. The whole point is how God stepped into our story to fix things himself. And that is why Jesus being the Son of God, or being God incarnate, is so crucial. Because if he isn't God, then he couldn't bear the sin or the punishment of all mankind. If he isn't God, he wouldn't be sinless, so he wouldn't be a worthy substitute. And so if Jesus is anything short of God in the flesh, then the gospel is a waste of our time.
Yeah. And I think understanding this just helps us to generally appreciate more what he did, because it was Jesus or nobody. It was God or nobody. If he decided not to, then we might as well just be dead, because it wasn't like, oh, it's fine, you didn't have to do it, somebody else could have done it. You know when someone does something for you, like, yeah, you didn't have to. No, this one he had to, because there was literally no other option. So it's like God, thank you so much, because if you didn't do this, we're finished. And I was thinking about it, I think I was just lying down taking one of my power naps during the last week, and I was just thinking about the entire thing and how the gospel is a very crazy concept. It's just like, oh, these people are doing nonsense, these people going on sinning, living their lives as they please with no regard for me and all of that. And then instead, and there's obviously, I've already said that, oh, this is the punishment for this kind of behavior, and I'm the same person, you know, that sets the standards, you know, that sets the punishments and all of that, and these people are clearly going against, but I'm still the same person that will say, you know what, yeah, you guys are very silly and are doing the most, but I would still, you know, cover that and clean up your mess so that you don't have to face the consequences of that. And it's crazy, because I'm like, bro, why? You know, like, why, and there's only just one answer. It's just love. Like, he just loves us that much, you know. And quite frankly, I don't know that it makes sense to the normal mind, but I mean, that's just what the love of God is, right? He loves you that much. He loves me that much. And it just makes you appreciate him more. Like, God, thank you. When you dip it, you're like, God, thank you. Thank you so much, because you do not look at my bad behavior and say, you're going to have to pay for this by yourself. You're just like, no, I'm going to cover that for her. And it's very humbling. It's very humbling. Seeing the love of God for what it is very, very humbling. And it's something that I encourage, you know, you, our listeners, to do once in a while. Just, I mean, it's easy to get lost in the, oh, I'm in church, I need to learn the next best doctrine, I need to, you know, do this, do that. But just sometimes, just bask and remind yourself of the importance, the gravity of what Jesus did for us, and let your mind be blown afresh, you know.
Yep.
You know the song that says, that Bethel song, Wonder, may we never lose our wonder. Yeah. You know, wide eyes
mystified,
staring at the beauty of our King. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So just sometimes just stare or bask in the awe yeah. of all that Jesus did, and yeah. know that it was no small thing. Yeah. And you needed it. There was no other option. You yeah. needed it. I needed yeah. it. We all needed it.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, it's a worthy note to end on. And yeah. we'll see you guys next week, unfailingly.
All right, guys. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Tribe podcast.